Well, good morning. We welcome you in to a midweek edition of My Car Guru, a Wednesday morning holiday week. It seems kind of like Tuesday to some people, but it's Wednesday.
You know what, Tim? You and I have been talking about vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about my typical vacation as a child was in a particular type of car.
Yeah.
What were you in?
Station wagons.
There you go.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Station wagons with wood grain, genuine, simulated, plastic,
yep,
wood grain,
yep,
all over the side,
mm-hmm,
of our Caprice, mm-hmm, estate station wagon.
I used to hang out in the very back. I'd get back there. I'd get me some blankets back there.
Yeah,
you know, and lay down
backwards.
Yeah,
and were you facing in the far back seat or the
no? I was in the very back.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah, the very back.
Yeah, that's where all the luggage was.
Yeah, well, I was kind of on the other side from the luggage, and I put me a blanket or two down and, you know, just sail down the road. We never, you know, I hate it, but we never thought about seatbelts back then. Yeah.
One of my most memorable trips, my dad decided for the boys to go camping. And, of course, we had a bench seat in the front and then a fold-down middle seat, and then we had the tailgate. The station wagon that would fold down. It would, mm-hmm, open up two ways. It would open up, you know, mm-hmm, like a barn door. It would, mm-hmm, or not a barn door, but you know, swing,
yeah,
to the side,
swing to the side,
or it would drop down. So he dropped, mm-hmm, it down, and we had John Boat,
mm-hmm,
and he slid it into the back. Now there were four of us,
mm-hmm,
and my dad was always a big seatbelt guy, except when it came to me. You know, as long as everybody else was strapped in, Lenny would be okay. So Dad was driving. My brother was in the passenger seat in the front, and then his buddy was riding in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where Lenny was?
In the very back.
In the John Boat.
In the boat.
In the boat. So I rode, I think our trip was about 150 miles to the lake where we were camping, and mm-hmm, I rode in the back of the boat. So anyway, we've used station wagons for a lot of things. I've got a picture, one of my favorite pictures of my dad and I are at Cherokee Lake, which is just a little itty-bitty lake down there in Greenville. Right before you get to the dam on the Nolichucky, mm-hmm, there's this little tributary that goes back and forms this little lake. And, mm-hmm, we would go back there in canoe occasionally and fish and stuff like that. And it's, of course, driving a station wagon. He and I standing beside the canoe stuck into the back of the station wagon. But today, you know, you don't see those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But vacations, thinking about taking trips, the trip in 1971 to Disney World. Right after it opened up,
mm-hmm,
we were going down to Florida, and we made it as far as Valdosta, and we started here in Aurora.
Hmm.
And okay. It was there was no boat stuck in the back, so we knew it wasn't that. It was just it just continued to get louder and louder and louder, and Dad suspected that it was a wheel bearing going bad, and, mm-hmm, that's what it was. So we pulled off. There was a Chevrolet dealer there that had a shop, and so we checked in. He gave us a loaner car,
mm-hmm,
and they ordered had a wheel bearing. They just had to install it the next morning, and we were on our way. But you know, different kind of things can happen to you. We're going to talk today about some of the most common summer related car problems and things that you can do to head those off before you head down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that here in just a minute.
All right, we'll take our first break on My Car Guru. Hey, we're back, My Car Guru, for this Wednesday morning edition with Lenny Lawson.
You know, when cars sit, it's not good for them.
No, sir.
And the same is true just for those of you who use a trailer when you travel, either a camper,
mm-hmm,
you know, it could be a, you know, fifth wheel camper or a, mm-hmm, travel trailer of some kind or a pop-up camper,
mm-hmm,
or it could just be a utility trailer. So, mm-hmm, several years ago, I bought a 12-foot utility trailer that we take on vacation,
mm-hmm,
because we've got three families going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking three kayaks. I've got all these bicycles. And instead of packing in suitcases, we pack in these tubs, you know, that you can buy these storage totes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just load all those in there. Works really good, but I mean, you know, you run out of room real quickly with a 5.5 foot bed in, mm-hmm, an F-150.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you talk about all the grandkids and stuff like that, it's just too crowded. So we bought this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, you know, here I am knocking on wood, I just want to, anything can happen to your vehicle when you're traveling. You cannot possibly avoid, you know, an occasional problem. But mm-hmm. you can take some precautions to make sure. You know, when you're getting ready to travel, make sure that you your oil and everything is good to go, but please check your lug nuts on your wheels, and that includes on your camper. Because, mm-hmm. you know, over time, you know, they loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
And also the air pressures. Now, we were picking up a vehicle in Florida a couple weeks ago. No, I take that back. We were delivering a vehicle to Florida. It was a 1970 Karmann Ghia convertible that I had sold. Mm-hmm. And I had one of my guys take it down, and he got down about as far as the Florida line
mm-hmm.
before, and a tire blew out on the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a spare.
Wow.
Okay. And, you know, that was kind of my fault. I mean, there was no, it was an aluminum trailer. There's obviously no storage mm-hmm. on this trailer. But you should always have a spare, mm-hmm. you know. And so for my 12-foot utility trailer, I bought a spare because things can happen, you know, on those as well. But I'm checking the lug nuts. You know, if a trailer's been sitting for a long time, you need, or been in water, like if it's a boat trailer or something like that, you need to make sure the wheel bearings are packed with grease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a real expensive thing to do. You can go to any shop and you can just say, you know, let's say it's a 2 or 3 year old trailer, you've been using it or it's been sitting, just make sure that the wheel bearings are packed with grease. You know, one of the things that I used to do is I'd go just drive around for, 10 miles or so, and then stop, I'd get out, and I'd just put my hand on the wheel bearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the hub of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And if it felt warm or hot, then I knew that I had a problem. If mm-hmm. it's cool, mm-hmm. then, you know, you don't have an issue. You've got adequate lubrication. So that's just, for those who are pulling trailers, I think that's important.
I imagine if you're even a camper or a trailer, if it sits for a while, they can get flat spots and things like that, or cracking on the side of the tires.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And if your trailer has brakes, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. those will get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my trailer has removable fenders. And one time I was I hit a pretty heavy bump on the interstate, and I looked back, and the whole back half of my fender had jumped off and was ready to hit the road. You know, because mm-hmm. it has these clips on it that holds the fenders on.
Mm-hmm.
And what the fender, you know, you've got those spinning wheels and you've got a really expensive car,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the aluminum trailer. The fender keeps rocks and stuff and water from flying up and hitting your car.
Right.
But these things are removable so that you can actually get into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the door will you know, bump right into the top of that fender and you mm-hmm. can't get the door open to get in and out of the car. So that's why they made the fenders removable. But you got to make sure that the latches are set.
Yeah.
You know? And if you don't have a good trailer lock, you know, make sure you have one of those too, because people will steal your trailer when you have it parked. Like, we're getting ready to go to Hilton Head. We're taking the trailer. More than likely, I'm not going to be able to leave the trailer at the house because they don't like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. So I'm going to have to park the trailer in I'll find some car dealer where I can leave the trailer, or I have to park it in one of their storage lots. And, you know, I'm going to put a trailer lock on it, which somebody could easily hack off with a hacksaw or something
right,
like that.
Right.
So, but, you know, some very common problems that you see. Some of the most obvious are like belts and hoses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're driving a 5 or 6 year old vehicle on vacation, you need to really check your belts. If you haven't had, you know, most cars don't use V belts anymore, you know, V shaped belts.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an older car, it may have those on it. Sometimes your belts don't need to be replaced. It's just that they need to be adjusted. You know, you need, because there are adjustments on the alternator, you know, the brackets and stuff that hold all these components.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that's how you tighten a belt, is just by adjusting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have most of modern cars, though, don't use V-belts. You know, they use a serpentine belt.
Mm-hmm.
And they have automatic tensioners on them, but those tensioners can wear out.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that those are, and the problem is, you lose one of those serpentine belts, you've lost everything on your car. You used to, if a certain belt broke,
yep.
you know, you didn't have to worry. Maybe your power steering belt broke or something, you still had steering, you just didn't have power steering.
I've seen fan belts go out and people replace them with elastic things or rubber things or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Just a piece of rubber or a piece of elastic or something like that, but can't do that anymore.
But, you know, the summer heat. is going to have an impact on everything. Everything is going to expand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So change your belt if it's been a while since you last changed, or at least have somebody inspect it. Mm-hmm. Tire problems, you know, these are very common. Tire bursts are the most common problem encountered during summer. It's very important before you leave on a trip to make sure your air pressures are good, okay? Mm-hmm. And make sure that you're, you know, if your tires are old, if they're over 7 years old, you need to replace them. But you're going to have huge temperature fluctuations. The days get really hot, the nights get chilly. With this in mind, if your tires don't have the right pressure, it makes them more susceptible to getting worn or damaged. Another thing that is kind of interesting is vaporized fuel leaks. Well, basically heat in general causes liquid fuel in your tank to vaporize. The trapped vapor causes the pressure in the fuel tank to rise. Now, cars are designed to allow this excess pressure to escape through a system of hoses where it is held until your car basically needs it. This system is particularly important in the summertime to prevent engine breakdowns and extend the life of your car when temperatures are unusually high. If there is a cracked hose in the system, then the vaporized fuel basically results in low gas mileage. And it's also a cue for your check engine light to come on. And it may be because of this this fuel system issue. It's quite mm-hmm. common problem in older used cars. Mm-hmm. So make sure that that hose system is in good shape. Another thing is, you know, weak battery. You may think that the winter is the only time you have to worry about a weak battery, but high summer temperatures aren't good for them either, because the battery has to work a lot harder to keep your summer car engine and other accessories cool. If there's a malfunction in any of the battery's components, it reduces that efficiency. So make sure your battery has adequate protection and is putting out the right amount of current. Broken air conditioning, you know, have you ever had that happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
The air quits working in the summer, especially on a trip.
And you can tell if it's a real hot day just by feeling that air that comes out of that vent, you can tell it's not working.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people have to add refrigerant every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've done is they're accepting this leak that they have.
Yes.
You know, you're not supposed to frequently add Freon to your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Of course, I say Freon, it's really not Freon. It's
refrigerant.
Yeah, some type of refrigerant. But if there's a leak, you need to find out where it is. I would make sure before you go on vacation that turn your air conditioning on and make sure it's running cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can make a long trip even longer for sure.
Yeah, if you have to rely on that 255 air, that's not too good on a long trip.
No. engine overheating problems. I bought an older car not too long ago, very low mileage, older car. And on multiple test drives, the car was overheating, okay, and actually had to pull over on the side of the road and have a wrecker come pick me up in this older vehicle that I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's extremely low miles, but the car just hasn't been driven.
Right.
And even after flushing the cooling system, matter of fact, we flushed it four times, thinking that there was rust. We look in the radiator, it looks clear. We've changed the thermostat. We have actually run it without a thermostat just to see if that would keep it from overheating. You know, we thought about maybe an obstruction in the heater core, you know, which is in the dash.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we've tried has failed. So the final test was to see if it had a blown head gasket.
Mm-hmm.
And even with under 10,000 miles, it's a, you know, it's a 45-year-old car, ended up having a blown head gasket.
Mm.
So now we have to pull the heads off, intake off, the heads off, and, you know, identify where that is. And I'm hoping that we don't have a cracked block.
Yeah.
You know, which could be much, much more expensive. But overheating problems, you know, can be avoided, just making sure that your coolant levels are good. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a coolant flush, now's a good time to do it and get nice, fresh coolant in there at the right mixture of water and coolant, and then you won't have to worry about that. You know, something that people really don't think about is wiper blades. I know that's not a serious issue until the wiper blades are completely worn out and the metal starts touching your windshield and you put permanent scratches in your windshield.
Yeah, and if you're going to someplace like Florida, driving down there, you just never know. You get a really heavy storm and monsoonal type rain, and that really can be costly.
And you're going to be smashing bugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you have the right mixture of windshield washer fluid. You know, there's a certain amount of water, a certain amount of fluid mm-hmm. that goes in there. Fill up that tank as well. You know, it's not going to stop your car. You know, it's not like running out of oil or mm-hmm. transmission fluid mm-hmm. or something like that. But it is going to make it kind of inconvenient. And then replace your wiper blades. I mean, the best practice is to replace your wiper blades 2 times a year. Mm-hmm. You know, going into winter and then, you know, going into fall probably and then going into summer. And just, you know, get a nice fresh set.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to it doesn't matter. I mean, go get the factory blades at a new car dealership and get what came on it from the manufacturer, or you can go to, you know, O'Reilly or AutoZone or someplace like that and have them put wiper blades. I'm sure there is some difference in quality, you know, between the two. I'm big on OEM parts, original equipment manufacturer parts, but, you know, a lot of people just, you know, they think that they're made by the same people anyway, and it really doesn't matter.
I know some people that change their wipers or wiper blades when the time changes.
Mm-hmm. Really, wiper blade inserts is what I should say.
Yeah.
It's the rubber part.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, these are some things that you need to be thinking about. You know, you may have a car with an excess of 100,000 miles. You may think about replacing your shock absorbers as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big safety issue. It's not just ride quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of folks would be amazed what a new set of shock absorbers will do for the way their car handles, because they forgot how well it handled and drove when it was new. You know, you get used to this mm-hmm. sloppiness. If you've got a car that you go up to it and you push down on it, and if it doesn't settle down immediately and stop moving, then you might need shocks. I mean, if you push down on it and it continues to bounce a little bit, then your shocks are worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something you need to get replaced, because it can really affect you. I mean, you're going down a road and you're a curvy road, you hit a bump, and the vehicle is losing its contact with the road, and you can't control the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of the computer-controlled safety systems in the world can't help you if your shock absorbers are worn out. So, you know, just something else to worry about, right?
Right. Not like some of these younger folks who have some of these cars where they have that switch they can turn on and it starts bouncing, you know. You've seen those?
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not talking
about
that.
You don't want that.
No, you definitely don't want that.
All right, we'll take our last break, and we'll be right back to wrap things up on My Car Guru. All right, we're back here on a Wednesday edition of My Car Guru to wrap things up for the final couple of minutes here.
I had to plug in my iPad, running low on juice. You know, I get to like, I don't know, 20%. I start worrying.
Yeah, it seems to go pretty fast after 20%.
Now, the new F-150, the electric mm-hmm. F-150 called the Lightning,
mm-hmm.
Initially, Ford Motor Company said that it's going to have 300 miles of range.
Mm-hmm.
And people were somewhat disappointed. I mean, you've got this huge vehicle mm-hmm. with all this space for mm-hmm. all these additional batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Ford came full circle and said, well, that's 300 miles of range with 1,000 pounds of payload in the back. They were being coy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is, after some testing, one of the big car magazine companies, Car and Driver, did a test on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And when they jumped into the truck, the range that showed on the dash was 459 miles. Now you're talking, Tim.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot better.
I mean, 450 miles. Of course, it depends on how long it takes to charge it up, but that's significant. That kind of caught the automotive press off guard. They say, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really impressed with the vehicle, though, and they say that we're all going to be driving electric cars in about 10 or 15 years anyway. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm not. By the way, do you have any of those Lightnings yet?
No.
No.
No, they haven't.
But you can order them, I understand.
Yeah, you can order one. You can go online and make a reservation. I think they already have, last time I checked, they had 90,000 reservations. See, this is the way they do things now. They come out with a vehicle and people make reservations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is initially, I guess, with the Bronco. I think the first one to come out with reservations was the Mach-E Mustang. and then they had the Bronco reservation process, mm-hmm. and now they have the Lightning. So Tesla kind of started a trend on that,
mm-hmm.
with going online and reserving a vehicle for yourself.
There's going to be a lot of people on that list, on these lists, isn't there, with this computer chip thing
and
everything going on.
I mean, I understand why a manufacturer would want to do that, mm-hmm. because they can really plan their sure. production schedules and stuff around that instead sure. of waiting on dealers. I mean, the traditional model is just have dealers order cars,
mm-hmm.
and then the cars show up. We clean them up, PDI them, as we say, pre-delivery inspection, and put them out there on the lot and wait mm-hmm. for somebody to come and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of turned around where is the car comes in, PDI, we call the customer and they come pick up their car.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of inventory on the lot. So mm-hmm. I there's something about that I really like, because all of that inventory that's out there on the lot I own, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have enough money to not finance those cars. That's called a floor plan. And so the floor plan, I may have $4 million worth of cars out there on a lot, and I'm paying interest on those cars as they sit there. So the fewer cars I have, the less interest I pay.
Yeah.
So if we can turn them faster, that's better for us poor old car dealers.
Sure. Come in, pick up your car that you ordered.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for My Car Guru on this Wednesday morning, and we will join you again in about 23 and a half hours for My Car Guru.